H. James. And now, Life Ascending. This is by Nick Lane, and it charts the history of life on Earth by describing the 10 greatest inventions of life, based on their historical impact, their importance in living organisms, and their iconic power. And we enjoyed this book because, without asking your science grades, Lane takes you on an elegant and adventurous step-by-step guide to what makes life the way it is. It's beautifully written with a satisfying overarching structure. Nick Lane.
Thank you very much. It's a great honour to be here. I'll read a short passage from the beginning of the book. I'll start at the start on the origin of life. Night followed day in swift succession. On Earth at that time, a day lasted for only 5 or 6 hours. The planet spun madly on its axis. The moon hung heavy and threatening in the sky, far closer and so looking much bigger than today. Stars rarely shone, for the atmosphere was full of smog and dust, but spectacular shooting stars regularly threaded the night sky. The sun, when it could be seen at all through the dull red smog, was watery and weak, lacking the vigour of its prime. Humans could not survive here. Our eyes would not bulge and burst as they may on Mars, but our lungs could find no breath of oxygen. We'd fight for a desperate minute and asphyxiate. The Earth was named badly. Sea would have been better. Even today, oceans cover 2/3 of our planet, dominating views from space. Back then, the Earth was virtually all water, with a few small volcanic islands poking through the turbulent waves. Enthralled to that looming moon, the tides were colossal, ranging perhaps hundreds of feet. Impacts of asteroids and comets were less common then than they had been earlier, when the largest of them flung off the moon. But even in this period of relative tranquility, the oceans regularly boiled and churned. From underneath, too, they seethed. The crust was riddled with cracks, magma welled and coiled, and volcanoes made the underworld a constant presence. It was a world out of equilibrium, a world of restless activity, a feverish infant of a planet. It was a world on which life emerged, 3,800 million years ago, perhaps animated by something of the restlessness of the planet itself. We know because a few grains of rock from that bygone age have survived the restless eons to this very day. Inside them are trapped the tiniest specks of carbon, which bear in their atomic composition the nearly unmistakable imprint of life itself. If that seems a flimsy pretext for a monumental claim, perhaps it is. There isn't a full consensus among experts. But strip away a few more skins from the onion of time, and by 3,400 million years ago, the signs of life are unequivocal. The world was heaving with bacteria then, bacteria that left their mark not just in carbon signatures, but in microfossils of many diverse forms, and in those domed cathedrals of bacterial life, the meter-high stromatolites. Bacteria dominated our planet for another 2,500 million years before the first truly complex organisms appeared in the fossil record. And some say they still do, for the gloss of plants and animals doesn't match the bacteria for biomass. What was it about that early Earth first breathed life into inorganic elements? Are we unique or exceedingly rare, or was our planet but one in a million billion hatcheries scattered across the universe? According to the anthropic principle, it scarcely matters. If the probability of life in the universe is one in a million billion, then in a million billion planets, there is a chance approaching one that life should emerge somewhere. And because we find ourselves on a living planet, obviously we must live on that one. However exceedingly rare life might be, in an infinite universe, there is always a probability of life emerging on one planet, and we must live on that planet. If you find overly clever statistics unsatisfying, as I do, here's another unsatisfying answer put forward by no less a statesman of science than Fred Hoyle and later Francis Crick. Life started somewhere else and infected our planet, either by chance or by the machinations of some godlike extraterrestrial intelligence. Perhaps it did. Who would go to the stake to say it didn't? But most scientists would back away from such reasoning, with good reason. It is tantamount to an assertion that science cannot answer the question before we've even bothered to look into whether science can in fact answer it. The usual reason given for seeking salvation elsewhere in the universe is time. There has not been enough time on Earth for the stupefying complexity of life to evolve. But who says? The Nobel laureate Christian de Duve, equally eminent, argues altogether more thrillingly that the determinism of chemistry means that life had to emerge quickly. In essence, he says, chemical reactions must happen rapidly, or not at all. If any reaction takes a millennium to complete, then the chances are that all the reactions